Anyway, I was going to talk again about the Sandokai. I did a talk last week on it. And part of the Sandokai is a famous thing. It's like, we're born, we clutch at things, and then compound delusion later on by following ideals. And ideals are the ways that we, they're necessary for life to have a sense of how things could be right. Just like if you do something, you have to have a picture in your mind of what you want done. I used to do construction. You had to have a picture of how you wanted it to look. But clinging to the way you want things to be, often when it actually, the ideal actually can't be done in reality. Just like people sometimes have an ideal in a relationship, but no human ever is that good. If you follow what I mean, it's like nobody ever quite. The fact that you're not going to find someone who's like, I remember somebody just being upset that, it's something their partner did. And I kind of go, this is just life. People make, just aren't doing well with something. And, you're never going to, you're not going to find someone who's always getting things right. And then it goes later in the scripture, it goes, with the ideal comes the actual, like a box hole with its lid. With the ideal comes the actual, like two arrows in midair that meet. Actually, as I think about it, that actually isn't the best. I realize I don't view it in those terms. I'm not sure that's the best way to give the teaching. Because the actually, the ideal is just pointing to how you want things. The actual is actually the ideal. In the sense that's the life of Buddha. That's what we're given. And no matter what we do, reality can't be the ideal. It's impossible. Think of now the ideal we often have is how can we have everybody be good, positive, people? But still life won't be the ideal because I was just thinking about somebody who I remember coming to see me and he's giving me, he was actually from England, just passing through here, but he's doing counseling and he's giving me all these troubles in his life. Nothing unusual, work, relationship, and other things. And at the end, suddenly he started to cry. And was that his, the real thing that was bothering him was a schizophrenic son. And of course, there's no way, no matter what we do, you can get everything else the ideal, but you have a schizophrenic son. I remember somebody who actually just an unusual thing because we don't get it much. He was a high school student. He came here for meditation instruction and came a couple of times. And it ends up somebody, literally somebody else here knew him in high school, was friends, and he had an identical twin brother. And then his twin went schizophrenic in high school. And then he's going off to college, an elite college, and his brother, the schizophrenic, and it's not, functioning very well, can't go to college, commits suicide, which isn't surprising because you think about how hard it would be to, because identical twins usually are in, sort of almost like so much part of the other one because they grow up together so much. And the point is that the way karma works, things can't be the ideal. You can be in a car accident tomorrow. The ideal would be how do you stop it? And actually, none people can't be the ideal because the nature of karma is the fact that we all have stuff to deal with. No baby's born as a Buddha. It's like from the beginning, all I'm here for is to help all sentient beings. that's not the nature of things. But the ideal can be found in the fact that in Buddhism, samsara, which is the non-ideal reality, and nirvana are one because it's looking at them with different eyes. When you look at it with the proper eyes, everything is really Buddha. And that's one of the translations of Sandokai. All is one, all is different together. You're seeing both samsara and nirvana at the same time. And one doesn't stand against the other, because there's both all this suffering and actually, in a deeper sense, no suffering. You know, the person commits suicide, nothing is fundamentally lost or gained. It's just karma that's unfolding. Just like someone, the person I like quoting often is a fellow in a concentration camp who was seemed to be the only one there who was at peace and not troubled. And when the person asked him, how is this possible? You know, how are you not troubled? He said, there's a joy that fills everything that no condition can affect. And there's always suffering. There's nothing special going on here. You know, just like whenever we suffer, we think this is special. Like, you know, it's even why support groups are helpful, because we so much think what happens to us is special. Like, you know, how could this be happening? Just like a month, you know, I'll talk to somebody. It's almost like, how could this happen when, you know, this happens regularly? It's almost like talking to one of the most painful things you could have, a mother losing a child. But of course, that happens. It's why it's in the scriptures about the mother losing, coming to the Buddha who lost the child. So with the ideal comes the actual. It's the fact that they're two sides of the same thing. It's how you look at it. If you look at it that this shouldn't be happening, people shouldn't be schizophrenic, there shouldn't be pain, there shouldn't be these difficulties. That's like saying the weather should be sunny. I should be able to, you know, not hit any traffic driving to San Francisco. You know, this isn't reality. Yet we can realize there's something deeper than what's going on, and that's the purpose of Buddhism. We both want to help things, and it's like Milarepa said, just like when my leg hurts, I rub it to relieve the pain. Whenever I see suffering in the world, I rub it, want to relieve the pain there. And that's normal, you know, just like you'll read the news and you'll think, oh God, wish that wouldn't be happening. Somebody around you is suffering, you wish it wouldn't be happening. But on a deeper sense, we have to realize nothing is being gained or lost. But if you get caught up in how you want things to be, then you keep kind of fighting it rather than just dealing with it and realizing this is just the nature of things. We're often getting good and bad being given to us. And it's like one of the later lines goes, within all light is darkness, but explained it cannot be by darkness that one-sided is alone. In darkness there is light, but here again, light one-sided is not explained. Light goes with darkness, a sequence does of steps and walking. Actually, you can't understand things going right unless there's something going wrong. You know, it doesn't have any meaning if there wasn't the potential. Just like beauty has no meaning except it has to be something not beautiful. You know what I mean? It's not like, because everything's in relation to something. When it's not in relation, it's not even something we even register as something. Just like on the whole, we don't think about air because it's just air. You know, it's only when it's polluted or something, we kind of think, oh, you know, or we go to some place, we're living in a city and we go to the country and suddenly we notice the air. Mostly air is just air. Light goes with darkness. And this is a very important in terms of training, because often people will think that if they practice, everything's going to get better. In the big picture, yes. In the small picture, no. In the sense that light will go with darkness. An example of this is, I remember an example I like using, where there was a fellow who came to the Abbey who was super enthused, this very competent fellow. He was at a working on his own from home at the time. He could just make a ton of money because he was going to make a ton of money and become a monk just after coming briefly to the abbey. And I remember he took the retreat schedule for an introductory retreat, said, I'm going to go home and follow this, and this will be my schedule. And the reason I remember this is nobody else had ever done that. I'm going to just follow. And when he came back, he said, No, I'm following the schedule. This is how what I'm doing. And I just thought, that's interesting. I couldn't do that. Even now, I would have trouble just doing that. I'm not sure why I would want to do that either. And he actually had this very strong will and very keen and very positive about everything. And everything seemed straightforward to him. You just do this and everything will work. I remember telling somebody, so he comes to the abbey to be a monk, and in those, I remember telling somebody who was, you spend like a year, you spend a year as a layperson, so sort of you're under my sort of supervision for a year, and then he becomes a postulant, and he goes under somebody else's supervision, and usually you spend another year and then get ordained, is tech, if everything goes, unless there's a problem. I remember telling the person who was going to supervise him, we'll have to see how he does when he hits the wall. And what I meant by that is at some point it's going to get very hard. It's like he can't will himself. His feelings are going to, stuff is going to come up. He's going to find something difficult. Everyone does. It's just life. It's even like in a relationship. It's hard to have one where everything is just, wow, every day is better and better. In terms of training, light goes with darkness, meaning at times you have to kind of see what you need to change. Now, probably he thought, I don't need to change too much. I just have to keep going in this direction. Everything will sort himself out. Rather than actually, if he looked at it deeply, he's going to see aspects of the self. Basically, of how selfish and self-absorbed he is, and that he has to really change it. It's going to be hard. I remember got ordained and left a short time later, and I've had other people have the same experience where it's just, almost like when things get hard, something is going wrong. Again, I'm somebody who explained, did the same thing, and when he left, many years later, 20 years later, he's talking to me. He said, it's a shame how everything went wrong when after I became a monk. And he described what happened to him. I said, actually, everything went right. nothing went wrong. This is what happens. The fact that it was hard for you is the nature of things, because light goes with darkness as a sequence does of steps and walking. It's not going to get lighter and lighter. That's what we often think. If we practice, everything will always get better. I remember actually talking to a thing at a conference of Buddhist monks of different traditions, and this relatively young monk, he had been, to me, relatively young, 6 years as a monk, and he kind of says, well, really, you should be able to wake up each day, see how you're doing better. I said, actually, if you don't see yourself doing worse at times, something is wrong. Because actually, at times, the and it'll say in like a there's a famous thing where I remember studying as a work, the way to light of heaven, and it kind of goes in everyone's practice, there's warmer and cooler times. There's times when we're enthused. There's times when we're not. There's times where things are easy, and there's times that things are not. It's almost like the thing from Ecclesiastes. There's a time for every purpose. Things, and it comes, and you'll say, oh, none of you are monk. You'll have the same thing. You'll be enthused at some point, and you won't be. In fact, if you look around, what happened? All of you who've been coming for a while, what happened to a lot of the people who were coming here? Where are they now? If you follow what I'm saying, is that at some point, most of them were enthused. I'm used to people getting enthused, but actually light goes with darkness, meaning it won't be that straightforward. Your meditation isn't gonna, at times, may get harder. And that's not because you're doing anything wrong. It's just the nature of that. I'm now looking at something difficult, or I'm becoming aware of something difficult. Because if you're gonna think that, actually, it must take a lot to change. How do I change? And part of it is, with light goes with darkness, is the way people get lost is thinking the importance of how they feel about what's going on. You know, people will give great importance to how they feel. Actually, that's something you have to actually learn not to pay that much attention to, because the feelings will keep changing. And if you just follow your feelings, you know, you won't make progress. You know, you're going to hit walls, because what happens when you don't feel like something is what you want? The commitment and training is to kind of keep trusting. If I keep walking, the light will appear again. Nothing is lost when my enthusiasm is lost. Nothing is lost when something is meaningful or hard or difficult. That's the nature of things. And if it's easy, you know, you bow. And an example of, and sometimes then it's taking the teaching to heart. An example of this is, I remember reading something someone wrote, and he's a Buddhist monk, and he's writing about the fact that, you know, more or less that he accepts that in a way you can't solve suffering, that he has a problem with clinical depression, and no matter what he does, he's going to feel lousy and suffer. And I thought, it's a good example of somebody not taking the teaching to heart. You know, he actually is not understanding the Dharma, that actually it can be okay to feel bad. And you say, oh, how's that possible? Actually, we do things all the time that feels bad. Actually, any of you who've been parents have often felt something right about feeling bad, if you follow what I mean. It's like, I'm finding this hard, difficult, painful, but it feels right. Because the commitment is there. You know, it's like most of us don't say, okay, I've had enough of my five-year-old. You know, and there's something right about just putting up with it all. And in training, you're realizing if you make a problem out of feeling bad, which the person was doing, like, I can't solve this. Actually, you don't have to solve it. Light goes with darkness. What it means is that when you feel bad, just feel bad. It's okay. Most people don't believe that. It's like, it's not okay to feel bad. And I can say that because I counsel people regularly, and people often don't really believe that it's okay if they feel awful. It's what you do with the awful feelings. And you see it in the bigger picture, and you trust that actually it'll just pass and you'll feel okay again. Just like a parent will often realize, this will pass. You know, it's not like they're going to, this problem when they're five-year-old will pass. And then I'll get new ones when they're 60, you know, and then I'll really go into the hell when they're teenagers. But, you know what I mean? But it's not, but the commitment allows you to do it. And the commitment to train is to realizing, I'll do the practice. And the practice is actually not making a problem out of what we're being given at the moment, and not getting caught up in the light and the darkness. And that allows us to keep walking. Keep practicing. And that sorts everything out. But if you don't trust it, or you keep thinking, I have to solve this, there is a problem that I feel bad at times. And that actually keeps your feeling bad much longer, because in a way, by pushing away the feelings and in a way not accepting them, they actually hang around much, much longer, take much harder to get rid of. Well, if you just, you know, just like I remember somebody was, one of the monks, a monk was telling me about, someone in his temple having a problem. And in a way, he was almost telling the person to somehow get over this and deal with it and all the rest. I said, bad teaching. You should have just told them to ignore it, not to care about it, and just wash the dishes. Just function normally. And the fact that you feel lousy or having a hard time, you don't have to deal. You know, that isn't a problem. In a way, you're making it a problem by almost wanting them to deal with it rather than just accepting. It's okay to, like, wow, I'm finding this really difficult. I'm finding you difficult, which often happens. You don't have to solve that. Just accept that's normal stuff. The person, if they trust you on a deeper level, if they don't, they'll leave. And if they stay, you do it. And a lot of it is just the willingness to see that and trusting, you know, that the real light is always there. The darkness is just ourselves clinging to how we want things, including to how we feel. Because to have karma coming up and feeling bad for, it's just the nature of karma. A lot of things make us feel bad, including our own karma, and it'll pass. And if we don't cling to it, it just isn't a problem, really. But people think, you know, that that's what's important is, you know, and if I train well, I'll feel better. In the long run, yes, but that's big picture. Just like over time, most of you have been practicing and realize actually it does make you feel better, but not on a day-to-day, not in a way you can kind of grasp. You know, because, and when you feel bad, it's hard to realize at times, I feel bad now, but before I trained, I would have felt much worse. Because when you feel bad, it's, you don't have that perspective. It's not like I can go back and kind of think, how would I felt before? And in my case, it's hard to remember. You know, because I've been doing this so long, but a lot of you have been doing it for a long time too. But a lot of training is kind of not making a problem out of where we are. Because the conversion is, how can you wholeheartedly embrace the darkness in the sense of just, this is what I'm being given. This is what my training is. And when you realize that, that has a positive aspect to it. This is my practice. Just like there was an annoying thing I like quoting at the Abbey is like, we would have, something would go wrong, you know, some, whatever it is, something would be really difficult problem, some mess you're going to have to go out in the rain and deal with it. And people would just kind of smile and make the joke, this is good training. You know, it's kind of that gallows humor, but it also is pointing out a truth that it is good. That was good training. It's just, we all would like less good training because that's the nature of karma. Just like people have very frequently told me their illness was very beneficial to them spiritually. I still don't wish anyone to be ill. I don't want to be ill, even though it might help, you know, cancer might allow me to do much better. I'm still not particularly asking for cancer, you know, because it's not an automatic thing. Plenty of people get hard things and don't do with them well, and it's not automatic I will do well with it. It's, but often people do well with and tell me they're grateful for their difficulties, you know, that they went through, and they're being sincere. In a way, realizing the darkness isn't a real problem is liberating. You know, just like the person who has depression, if you can just sit still with it, nothing's going on, just feeling crummy. In a way, you can sit still with it and realize, in a way, it's okay. Where's the real problem? And it can be hard. I know it's a hard one to deal with. And there's also levels of clinical depression. And sometimes it's really hard not to be overwhelmed by it. But still, in a lot of cases, you know, it's people, and I've known people to successfully train with learn to deal with it. Just like I've known people to really, I remember somebody who was schizophrenic telling me when I asked him how it is, because he was at a retreat, he said, he's gotten a hand. He's okay with the schizophrenia now. He just has to keep everything in his life cool. He said he can't have a relationship. He goes crazy. Anything intense makes him go crazy. He has to keep everything kind of cool. And I thought, that's impressive. And he was an older fellow, and he did, he was pretty good, did pretty well at the Abbey, even though at times, he was a bit crazy, but, just reacted poorly. And I had to tell people, actually, he's doing well. Don't get upset the fact that at times he's a little bit weird, because he was doing well. And then Sandakai kind of ends, completely understand herein the basic truth within these words. Lo here, set up not your own standards. If from your experience of the senses basic truth you do not know, how can you ever find the path that certain is, no matter how far distant you may walk? As you walk on, distinctions between near and far are lost, and you should lost become, there will arise obstructing mountains and great rivers. This I offer to the seeker of great truth. Do not waste time. Setting up your own standards is thinking this is how reality should be. I literally have talked to many people who actually have spent time at Buddhist monasteries with strong opinions of how Buddhist monasteries should be. And I thought, it's interesting. Just like I've had people have opinions how monks should be. I thought, where the hell have you known monks, in our society? How can you have opinions how monks should be when you've never even known a monk? But it's funny. People will have, it's amazing how many opinions you could have. Just like I think one of the problems that we have when we're young is we'll have a relationship and not even realize, set up not your own standards, and it's really hard when you're young, this is how I want things to be. And you have no idea of how people actually are. You're not even understanding how you should be. Just like I was like somebody who I remember very nicely saying, it took her a while to realize what good people all her ex-husbands were. And it's like, because you often don't, because, in the end, they were not good people. It's just, when she was married to them, they drove her, she had their trouble with them, and because she had her own standards. In a way, you follow the Dharma, because in a way you realize your perceptions of the truth, the way of looking at the world, is missing something vital. And the Dharma is pointing you to the truth the Buddha found that people have been finding for 2,500 years. And, you can take refuge in that truth the same way as you can take refuge in whenever it's dark, the light, it'll change. And you think, and it's not dependent on the karmic conditions. It can change in the concentration camp. On the deathbed, on all these circumstances, people will have a change. And as you walk on, distinctions between near and far are lost. A lot of you have been practicing a long time. I bet you to some extent those distinctions have been lost, how you, where you realize you're not just practicing, you're not sure like where you're getting or what's, you've become less goal-oriented, because you often start with a goal or a picture, an ideal. And as you practice, you actually lose it after a while, because you realize this is what I'm being given. This is what I'm dealing with. It's not useful to say, I don't want this reality. Training is how do I deal with this reality and wholeheartedly embrace it and deal with it. And that's, and you can say, I would like to do better with it, but it doesn't even mean anything. All you can do is try to do what you can with where you are right now, like the big picture, like, how am I doing? It's like, a lot of you I've counseled, have I ever told you how you're doing? I almost never tell anybody how they're doing, unless they're despairing and feeling like utterly miserable. I have to tell them, you know, you're doing okay. You know, there's nothing really wrong, but I never tell somebody, wow, you're a picture of how you're doing, because truthfully, it doesn't mean anything to me. You know what I mean? All you can do is what you're doing now. And, you know, the evaluation is, I don't know, doesn't mean anything to me, like in the big, you know, like you're an A plus B minus trainee. It's like whatever your karma is what you're dealing with. And it's meaningless to kind of think, you know, just like if you're not dealing with much karma, it can seem like you're doing well, but you'll see what happens when you hit the wall, and karma will come up, and it comes up for everyone. I remember a message to you not long before she died, and it was this great monk, had deep understanding, and a brother died, and she had a hard time with it. She said, I'm surprised how hard a time I'm having with this, because he was actually mentally ill and made her life very difficult and still had unresolved feelings with him. The fact his mental illness was the fact that he left her the family house, which was should have been worth a lot of money in Hastings in England. And because he wasn't together, the house was actually basically had to just be taken, you know, was had to be demolished after he died, because it was in such bad shape, because he was been lived a long time and was not competent. And should your loss become, there will arise obstructing mountains and great rivers. What they're saying is that if you go off the path, it won't work. You can think not, you go on a tangent, you get lost in an ideal, you'll have obstructing mountains and great rivers. Things will get hard, you know, just like I've known, you know, people, and that's common, you know, you'll just find that in a way a common one is you just stop practice, you know, you stop really practicing, which is the obstructing mountain and great river. Like, okay, I can't deal with this. Training, meditation doesn't work for me. When actually all meditation is doing is sitting still and accepting where you are. You know, just being willing to try to fully see what you're thinking and feeling. I'm trying not to get caught up in it. And it's not like it doesn't work. It's just, it's often hard. Just like people are sometimes surprised that they're meditating for a long time and they're still finding meditation hard. Their mind's still wandering. They're still finding it difficult. I don't want to ask people to raise their hands who find meditation still hard and difficult, but probably most, is there anybody who would raise their hand and tell me it's not? And you can say, wow, something is wrong here. But often you, when you went in, you would have thought at some point it's going to get easy. Like I'll sit there and be, you know, as my college roommate once wrote me, it's nice that you're following your bliss. And I thought, have I even ever had any bliss? You know, I mean, I'm not sure I ever identified anything as bliss. On the other hand, it feels right, which is different than bliss.
Yeah, Rav Master, it just occurred to me that all of my ideals have actually just been shortcuts.
All of your
ideals have actually just been shortcuts.
Yeah.
Yeah, there are... when you use those two words within two sentences, then it struck, oh, yeah, that's my ideal has always been the shortcut, the easier, softer way.
Yeah. 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 Well, it's, we would like, yeah, we're often in a way, and it's hard because in a way we have a picture of the mind somehow the one of the great delusions is spiritual life is transforming ourselves to free ourselves from suffering. So we relate to things in a way where we're not making suffering out of what happens. That's an amazingly hard thing to do. It's not like, wow, this is a little gimmicky thing. Like, oh, I do this and everything will be okay. Just having some more things okay is good. And most of you have been practicing, some more things are okay. You still have this long list of things that you need to transform and relate to better. And often we don't want to recognize how much it takes. And actually, the fact that this is difficult, but the trick is that the more you do it, it makes a big difference. Just like I'm used to people being amazingly grateful for their training when things fall apart. Have a serious health problem. It'll be very rare you're not very grateful for your training practice, because it'll allow you to be less consumed by the problem. You'll still probably feel consumed by it, but the less is a big deal. Less suffering is a big deal. And having a bigger perspective, so when the dark difficulties come, you realize, oh, okay, it's not a real problem. Like if something goes wrong, just remind yourself, where's the real problem in here? And that's freeing, you know, in this situation or whatever it is. Yeah.
But when we want something, that's really the craving part that causes us to suffer. So,
you know, I don't, you know.
But when we don't want global warming, well, we want a better future for the planet, but that's craving too, right? And
well, it's not crave. It's not wrong to want things any more than I want lunch when I finish the store today. You know what I mean? To want something is normal. The desire to want people, to want someone not to suffer is, you know, it's why we have a transfer merit board. We don't want beings to suffer. We want to alleviate suffering. This is a normal desire. Any of you come to me with some difficulty, I probably will want to, if I could help if I could. But we're not clinging to it. The difference is accepting that maybe it won't go my way is reasonable. Like, if I don't get lunch, can I be okay? You know what I mean? Or if my computer dies, or the wrong person I don't want is elected president, can I be okay with it? You know what I mean? Just realize, okay, it's not what I want. I think this is going to cause, let's say something happens, I think, oh, I mean, we've had it. I remember, like with our wars in the middle, you know, like when we invaded Iraq, you know, I thought, God, that's going to be a disaster. And was I necessarily right? Well, I wasn't exactly an expert on on it, but that was my perception, and I didn't want it to happen. I remember I did demonstrate against it, even though I thought, I'm demonstrating in San Francisco. It's probably hard to find anyone in San Francisco who supports of it. And also, I don't think demonstrations actually are that effective as policy change things, but I didn't know what to do. And I did that just because I wanted to do something. So the problem isn't that desire coming up is the problem. It's how we relate to it. The fact that we want some things and don't want some things is functional. You know, I want my car to work. That's a desire. I want traffic. You know, I don't want to be stuck in traffic. It's just like yesterday, one of the people coming to the retreat's late because she said, God, there was all this traffic, you know, wasn't supposed to be. She drove from Pleasanton and got stuck in traffic. And I thought, huh, Saturday morning, you know, I would have thought it would have been okay, but it wasn't. But can you be at peace then when it's not going okay? And that's the trick. It's not that you don't want stuff. You always want stuff. So desire isn't the problem. It's how we cling to the desire. That's the problem. You have to have desire. You know, just like imagine being a parent. You have to want your kids to do well. You know, you're a bad parent if you're not trying to help your kids do well. And you have to care about them or you're a bad parent. But also when something doesn't go your way or something goes wrong, can you still try to be at peace with it and realize this is just the way things are? And if something's all hurting, you just have to be okay. This hurts and I don't want it any more than we ever want hurt. Like, you know, it's never like I get pain and usually I want it unless it's weird things like physical therapy or something where I'm willing to accept pain because I realize, oh, it has a positive purpose. So it's the desire isn't the problem. It's how we relate to it. We have to have desire. Just like we have to have things we don't want to happen too. And it's just, how can we relate to it so we're not making a problem out of it, if that makes sense. Having a bigger attitude of mind and realizing this is what I'm given and how do I deal with it. And we're given things we want and things we don't want all the time. And can we deal with it with equanimity? You know, it's like in Buddhism, equanimity is one of the immeasurables. Just to realize getting what we want and getting what we don't want are both going to always happen, and it's not a problem.